Like I said, I was just playing Angry Birds on the iPad there, and it's really funny, isn't it, about how the years tend to reduce the size of it. I remember when I was a kid in the Spanish city in Whitley Bay, we used to play these types of games on these huge, great boxes and press the buttons and stand in front. And has anybody been there, Spanish city? Yeah? They've knocked it down. It's not there anymore. Such a shame. Mark Knopfler will be gutted. Anyway, my talk today is about on technology and simplicity. I think it was called some daft title like The Simplicity Factor. But I thought about it in the bath, so that explains that. Now, I use tech a lot in my classroom when I was teaching. But I also use low tech a lot, and that's why I brought along my two props, my iPad and this. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Hello, yeah? Would you like to shout what it is? It's a hammer for those people at the back who can't see the spotlight. Okay, you need, so I can do that. High tech's good. You know, I worked with it for a long time. I think the last time I stood here at the teach meet and spoke, it was about that national intranet thing, Glow. Technology can be used for a lot of good things. On a serious note, a lot of bad things. I think in a couple of hours, Troy Davis is about to be executed in the state of Georgia using technology to push the plunger on the execution machine. But good things as well, I think. And my hammer, though, is definitely low-tech. Now, my other half, who's an ex-Israeli soldier, tells me that this is the Israeli tool of choice for fixing everything. Anything that breaks down, smack it with a hammer, and it generally works again over there. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I probably wanted to use this on any iPhone that was around, as any of you who read my blog will know. But without this hammer, the iPad could probably have never come around, or the smartphones, or the MacBooks, or any of the other pieces of computer tech that we're using. If you think about what we use hammers for and what they have been used for in the past. The evolution of metalworking techniques and all sorts of things like that really rely on something very basic, like a hammer. I would probably not like to apply my hammer to an iPhone anymore because it would probably damage my hammer, to be quite honest. And I quite value this hammer, I quite like it, it's useful. But this can be used, this humble tool, to teach anything. And anybody who was at John Jones's keynote today, he talked about how you need a giggle factor to help engage and motivate kids. Derek touched on that with the games-based learning stuff. It's what engages kids, it's fun. Giggle factor. And maybe you pull this out in the classroom, like I did quite often, you'll probably get quite a few giggles, and the kids will wonder what it's all about. But it can be used to teach any subject. So my challenge now is, you shout out a subject, I'll tell you how you could use a hammer to teach with it.
RME.
Sex education.
Sex education, okay. Sometimes, you know, you have to use pieces of equipment. Don't you? Okay. We can put up a hammer. I probably passed. Did somebody say another subject? We can discuss that one afterwards. I've got some ideas there. Any other subject? Expressive arts. Okay. How would a hammer be used to teach expressive arts? How do you think? How do you think we could use that? You could, couldn't you? You could take this in your class, you could have a flower pot on the side, and you could dramatically smash it to bits, couldn't you? And then you could try and explain how sometimes, you know, we have to draw parts to make a hole and all sorts of things like that. But you might have engaged the kids, and they might think that'll be really fun to actually draw all the parts or make a jigsaw out of them or a collage out of them or something like that. We've got another subject.
Modern languages.
Okay. What's the French for hammer? Okay. How many languages? Some people would like to take a hammer to the old French curriculum, wouldn't they? Of course. But how many different languages could you find for hammer? I mean, how many uses could you explain in a different language of a hammer? I use a hammer to smash my friend in French or something like that. You know, a bit of thought, it'll get them laughing, and maybe they'll engage with what you're trying to teach them. Have we got time for another one?
Yeah.
Give me another one.
Geography.
Yeah. Okay. How can you use a hammer to teach geography? You could colour your hammer in. You could draw around your hammer. You could see how many hammers you could fit in a country on the map. Okay? Now, we're stretching it a bit, but you get my point, perhaps. Okay? One more thing. Somebody say science, please. Science! Right, well, of course, in science, we do structure and functions of metal, perhaps. And the properties of metals, they're malleable, aren't they? You can beat them and stretch them out. You can make nice things from them. Take a piece of copper and beat it out. You can make a nice art installation and probably earn thousands of pounds like Tracy Emin does for showing pieces of junk. That's a personal opinion. It's not reflective of the organisers of Teach Me today, so I hasten to add that. But in science, it's very useful because it does show the properties of metals, which kids have to learn. And I always used to give them an old ring to let them beat it. It was an engagement ring from a previous relationship that didn't work out. And the kids thought it was great fun to smack hell out of it with my hammer. But that brings me back to the start of the talk again, because probably without the hammer, the low tech, we wouldn't really have had the high tech, would we? These simple little tools can often lead to great things, either in your classroom, with technology, or anything else in life. And I think that's the little message that I wanted to put across today. Thank you.